Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Coming up in just a few minutes on this episode of KKHI, a smackdown by Tucker Carlson against fellow conservative Ted Cruz. And this is what we do to ourselves when we allow the left to define events and create terms that drive everyone into a frenzy. It's over a description that Ted Cruz used of January 6th, that terrorists came into the Capitol building and Tucker wasn't having it. And this is epic. I will play it for you in just a few minutes. But we start this episode with sports, as the Kansas City Chiefs are going to play a rare Saturday game against the Denver Broncos to close out the regular season and head off to the playoffs. And what we don't know is if the Chiefs will have next week off and the easy road to the Super Bowl, as they've had the last couple of years, or if they will have to, if they win and become the two seed, or if they lose and it becomes something worse. There's a lot of things in play here for the Chiefs. The most obvious thing in play is that the Chiefs would win this game over Denver. We believe the Chargers will beat the Raiders, although there's no guarantee. The Raiders have played a little bit better of late. They had a good road win last week. If that happens, of course, the Chiefs will play the Chargers. The Chargers become the two seed, and the Chargers come to Kansas City. I'm not really interested in that matchup. I'd kind of like to see anything but that matchup in the first game. But again, if you're going to win the Super Bowl, it all comes down to who has what left in the tank, who's healthy, who's best prepared and best coached, and the Chiefs, of course, would be playing at home. There would be no excuses. Even if you're the two seed and you play the Chargers next week and you lose to the Chargers at Arrowhead, there are no excuses. You weren't good enough in that season. Something went awry. You fell short somewhere. This is a weird year for me because this Chiefs, I've said it many times on the podcast, I believe their A game right now is the best I've ever seen. We saw a tremendous A game last week for about, what, 15, 20 minutes to start the game? Chiefs had a whopping lead, unstoppable on offense. The defense was making stops until it wasn't. After eight games of not allowing an opponent to score in the first quarter, building commanding leads, the Chiefs were doing the same thing. They followed the script, and they built a 14-point lead on the road at Cincinnati, and I was commenting to my buddies, this is the one seed. This is what a one seed looks like in January. This is what it looks like. And then it didn't look like that. And I think if we're being fair, we have to chalk that up to Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and a bad half of football. Basically, a bad half. At the wrong time, certainly. But a bad half out of football over a nine-game stretch where you go 8-1 isn't the problem. The problem was the first 7 weeks when the Chiefs started 3-4. That's the problem. Let's not lose sight of that. The Green Bay Packers played a game at Arrowhead without Aaron Rodgers, and they already locked up the one seed. They've got it. Okay, they lost their quarterback, went to Kansas City and lost a game without Aaron Rodgers, and were still good enough with all their guys to just dominate the NFC and have the one seed locked up. The Chiefs blew that in the first 7 weeks. Even after starting 1-0, really, if you want to get into to the nitty-gritty of it, they opened the season with the win over the Browns, and then I don't know what the heck happened. And, of course, the culmination of all of it, as it was the Super Bowl-winning year in 19, was a beatdown at Tennessee, where the Chiefs went to Tennessee and just got clobbered. They didn't get beat down there in 19. They shockingly lost a game. They blew, it looked more like the Cincinnati game. They blew a game that they should have won. But we see those things happen. Look, the Chiefs are playing the Broncos. I'm not going to go over all the numbers of this game. I'm going to give you a few details of the matchup, but that's about it. We know the Chiefs have dominated this thing. We know Patrick Mahomes is 8-0 in his career against Denver, but he has only thrown 10 touchdowns against the Broncos in those games and didn't throw for a touchdown in the 22-9 win 1 month ago at Arrowhead Stadium. There's a million Denver stats. The Chiefs have owned this thing. We know the Denver defense is good, but they are also 27th in the NFL on third down. That's bad. That's really bad. The Chiefs are number one offensively on third down. This is the NFL is a game of third downs, and the matchup here is brutal for Denver. The Chiefs get first downs on third down, and the Broncos don't stop anybody on third down. The ultimate problem the Chiefs had last week, and it only took one. It only took one play last week, and the Chiefs would have won that game. They didn't get a takeaway from the Bengals. It was a clean game. They didn't steal the ball. They didn't get one. Well, do you think Drew Lock is going to start this game and the Broncos' woeful offense, which has really been struggling the last 6 weeks. And it's only his third start of the season. Do you really think the Broncos are not going to turn the ball over against the Chiefs? And if they don't, doesn't that mean they're just going to try to run it and throw safe passes and probably not get first downs and punt the ball away? And do you think that will work? I don't. The Chiefs have not been great offensively against the Broncos. The Broncos do have a good defense. Vic Fangio and his staff have done a nice job against Mahomes, limiting what the Chiefs have done offensively. My gut tells me, unless there's some weather event I don't know about coming in Denver on Saturday afternoon, my gut tells me that's about to end, that the Chiefs are going to throw a party in this game, that they're going to score 34 or more. Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for 3 touchdowns, that this is it. Patrick Surtain, the star rookie corner for the Broncos, is out with a calf injury in this game. Drew Lock will play. He will play hurt. He has a shoulder injury. He had to get shot up last week to get put back in the game. If he can't go, Brett Rypien goes. I don't look for the Broncos to score very many points. The Broncos have 14 players on their injury list this week. Now, most of them will play. But what do we know about teams going nowhere? Teams that, I mean, do they have anybody on their team that's been in the playoffs? This is going to be 6 years in a row that Denver hasn't made the playoffs. Is there anybody there that even knows about the playoffs? We've been here in Kansas City. We know what this team looks like, and we know what can happen. Is the coach coming back next year? Fans in Denver are being organized by a local media personality who's attempting to organize a boycott of this game. That the only way the Broncos will get better, the only way to get their attention is empty seats and get routed by the Chiefs. There are literally Denver fans that want the Chiefs to come in and kick their ass. Helps with the draft choice, sends a message to ownership. Nobody show up, please. Let the Chiefs have it and go on their way. I get that as a fan. I do. I've been there. I've been there many times before. And that is the scenario in Denver. Chiefs got to take the ball away a time or two. If they do, this game's a rout. They win it. Chiefs do their part on Saturday. Everybody watches Tennessee at Houston on Sunday. It's a huge game. Houston has played better of late. Houston beat Tennessee earlier this year. I do not think Houston will beat Tennessee in this game, but Tennessee, at times this year, has been every bit as sloppy as the Chiefs with their ball security. Tannehill is fumble prone. Tannehill can turn it over. There's a lot of things can happen in this. It's a road game. It's not going to be a wild atmosphere. Stadium's not going to be sold out. You know, hey, let's go Texans. We're rallying the troops. We really want to beat those Titans. No, Tennessee is the better team, but it's the NFL. I can't sit here with much more than a 85% confidence that the Chiefs are going to win. Because I've seen this league and I've been around this league too long. I know what can happen. I think I remember Romeo Crennel getting the job as the interim coach. Who'd he beat in the last week or next to last week of the season? The Packers? Oh my God, the Chiefs were horrible. Were just horrible. And Romeo Crennel took over as the interim guy and they beat the Packers at Arrowhead. Either in the last week of the season or next to last week of the season. And we went, what? And then Romeo got the job. Things happen. Jacksonville is hosting the Colts. Little known fact, Jacksonville's pretty good against the Colts. They've beat them a couple of times, even when they're crappy. There's some record out there, the last four meetings, the Jaguars are 2-2 against the Colts and like 2-26 against the rest of the NFL. For some reason, they match up. Colts don't have a great quarterback. They rely on running the ball, playing defense, all those things. The Colts' margin for error is very little. Drop the ball on the turf a time or two, the Colts lose. It's not likely the Colts will go beat the Jags 55-10. That's not really what the Colts do. This could be a crazy weekend. We don't know. The Chiefs have to take care of business. First and foremost, they got to take care of business, and I think they will. I like this matchup. It's 3:25 Saturday on ESPN and ABC. Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit with the call. It's the college crew. I actually welcome that. That's much better than the Saturday night crew, the team that's going to do the Dallas Cowboy game, which is the Monday Night Football guys. It's unbearable to listen to that broadcast. So I am perfectly happy with the fact that it's going to be Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit with the Chiefs at Denver. There are a wide variety of predictions from people around the country, from people saying the Chiefs are ripe for an upset, they're not playing for enough, they've had a short week, travel, a lot of things like that, to I read this with one guy, and he just doesn't know the Chiefs very well. And he doesn't know Andy Reid very well. And this is why I always feel like it's important to, if it's about your team, sort of ignore the national people. They don't really know. It's hard. Always said that. People locally know the team better. You know the team better than a lot of national reporters. Period. You just do. You don't have to be in the locker room every day to know your team. Know what they're about. Know how they function. There is literally a guy out there with, I think it was CBS Sports, was writing his, you know, prediction, week 18 predictions, and he said the Chiefs aren't playing for anything. Mahomes will get an early lead, and they'll probably pull him out in the second quarter because they have to play next week. Now, on what planet do the Chiefs get a 14 to nothing, even if they get up 14 to nothing, in the second quarter and Andy Reid pulls his starters? What on earth is he talking about? The number one seed is on the line. The top seed is on the line. And you play this game like you're playing for the number one seed because the Chiefs are playing for the number one seed. There's only two teams that can get it, Kansas City and Tennessee. And that's going to be decided Saturday and Sunday. And this writer was arguing, well, since the games aren't up next to each other, played at the same time, well, that's exactly why they moved the Chiefs up. They knew what the Chiefs are doing. They know what the Chiefs are doing. The Chiefs are going to play for it. Tennessee's going to know what they have to do. It doesn't matter because it doesn't change what Tennessee has to do. Tennessee is winning in. They won't, their game on Sunday won't, when the Chiefs win, Tennessee's game doesn't change. It's the same no matter what. If they were both playing at the same time, Tennessee's game is still the same. It doesn't matter. Splitting these teams up by days doesn't matter. It doesn't change the equation. It would have mattered if Tennessee played Saturday and the Chiefs played Sunday, because if Tennessee won, then the Chiefs pull their starters. I don't know what this guy's writing. I don't know what these people think. Chiefs are going for it here. This is essentially playing for the one seed. And the last thing the Chiefs want to do is lose and get in tiebreakers with teams that don't have tiebreakers on and drop even farther, no matter what the matchups are. Does Kansas City want to play the Chargers next weekend? Probably not. It wouldn't be their first case scenario. There is a scenario that the Raiders, if they win, can be the six because they have the tiebreaker against the Colts. And the Colts would be the seven. So I think we're all rooting for the Raiders. I'd rather play the Colts next week at Arrowhead than the Chargers. And that's what's on the line. If the one seed is not in play, if Tennessee wins, you want the Chiefs to win and the Raiders to win Sunday night. There's your playoff scenario. Should be fun. I like the Chiefs in this one to win it. Darren Waller is back for the Raiders on Sunday night. And again, they can be the sixth seed. I think the Chargers are the better football team here, but the Raiders have done some things of late. They've not been in this position. They've been a decent team for a couple of years. They beat the Chiefs last year. They've done some good things. They've had some marquee wins. They won at Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. They had a big win last week against Indy to stay alive in the playoffs and now have a chance to play at home and get in. But they just haven't looked like they're as good a team as the Chargers. It's a division game. Maybe it's a toss-up. Chargers are favored by 3 out on the road. That's Vegas saying they think the Chargers are about a touchdown better than the Raiders at a neutral site, and I think that's probably right. All right, the Washington football team, there are people who believe they have accidentally released what their new name will be. Of course, I have long said they should be the Pigskins, and they could keep their little logo that they had, their sweaters and stuff that just say Skins. They could have kept a lot of stuff that they have if they just switched to Pigskins from Redskins, but it's not even in the running, which is a shame because Pigskins would be awesome. It's perfect, in fact. It's a giant middle finger, and it's fun. It's self-deprecating, it's tongue-in-cheek, and it has a tip of the cap to the Hogs, their fan base. It is what a football is at the Pigskin. We talk about this all the time. It'd be great. Looks like they either made a mistake, and this is going to be their name, and people have caught it, or they put it out there for people to be misled, and it's actually going to be something else. But if you go to WashingtonAdmirals.com, it now redirects you to the Washington football team site. So it looks like they're going to be the Admirals. They unveiled some uniforms with some stars kind of in stripes on them. So they're clearly going with a red, white, not red, white, and blue, but a patriotic theme. It looks like the Washington Admirals is the front runner for what the team name will be. I know a lot of you are expecting me to talk about what happened on Thursday as Joe Biden and Kamala Harris bumbled through their speeches. Donald Trump went nuts on them afterwards and all that from January 6th. I did that in a patron podcast yesterday. I think you'll find it enlightening and interesting. find all my commentary about Kamala and Biden and Trump and all that. And I share a personal story in that Patreon podcast and a story about a Kansas City area social media star writing a letter to Charisse Davids, the congresswoman, that is just epic. That is all in Thursday's Patreon podcast. Go to kkhasissues.com, sign up for $5 a month or more, and become a patron. And you'll get all the bonus content. We've done 3 patron podcasts this week. We'll do the newsletter on Saturday. It's all right there for you every week. It's inexpensive. It's $5 a month. And I'd love to have you join the team. I think it's a pretty good podcast from yesterday. Last night, really, is when I did it. And so I won't have a lot of commentary here on what happened on the January 6th nonsense in Washington, D.C. We will, in a few minutes, play a great clip from Tucker Carlson last night with Ted Cruz, who found himself in a world of hurt after saying something he never should have said. KKHI is brought to you by Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. Ron Buck and his team are available 24/7. They're the best roofers anywhere. I've got a friend with a place in Iowa, just across the Iowa border. They're doing a roof there for a commercial property. They will drive. They will come to you. Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, Odessa, Harrisonville, doesn't matter where you live. Butler, they'll do the job. These guys will come to you. So we got a lot of listeners in some rural areas, and we really appreciate all of you. Know that our sponsors will work with you. Roberts Robinson is the same way. If you want a new Chevy, Buick, GMC, they'll bring it to you. If you live 2 or 3 hours away, they'll work with you. They understand the podcast audience isn't just people in Kansas City. These are folks that will help you wherever you are in the region. And some people nationwide or worldwide can ship you their products, like B-Stock and Finch Knife Co. and companies like that. So we really appreciate that. They want to work with you. These are conservatives that want to work with fellow conservatives, and Ron Buck is at the top of the list. He's the best in the biz. Fry Orthodontics is the same way. That's why they have so many locations around Kansas City. There's one in your neighborhood. If you're looking for that great smile, don't put it off any longer. It's the new year. A lot of people are fixated on health and weight and all those things. That's all great. Yes, lose weight, get healthy. But how many times have you looked and said, man, I don't like these teeth that are crooked. I really wish I didn't, like, you know, cover my mouth a little bit when I smile. Fix it. It's less than you think. They'll work with you. It doesn't hurt. There's few appointments with Invisalign. Dr. Jeremy and his team will take great care of you. Online at fryorthodontics.com. Your smile is just the start. 360 Document Solutions is your business solution in the new year. You really should make this call. It's early in the year. You're trying to figure out how to grow your business, how to make it more efficient, how to do better. This will not cost you a nickel. It will only save you money. This phone call can only save you money. You can walk away and not do anything and stay right where you are. If you like what you hear from Mark and his team at 360, you're saving money. This will not cost you money. There's no charge for their service. They come out and do a complimentary analysis of what you're doing and say, hey, listen, you look great. Keep it like it is. Call us when your leases are up if you want to go with us, but you're good the way you are. They tell plenty of people that. IT solutions, mailing systems, phone systems, computers, copiers, printers, a whole deal. You can get more efficient at your office with 360documentsolutions.com. Online at 360documentsolutions.com. Anywhere in Western Missouri or the entire state of Kansas. And of course, my friend Mike Robinson. I told you about Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. They'll work with you anywhere. And don't forget, they'll fix your car too. All service available for all makes and models. They will come get your vehicle, take it to Excelsior, work on it, do the job right for the price they say, and return it to you. That's what they do. It's all about customer service at Roberts Robinson. Online at robertsrobinson.com. All right, a couple of other sports notes here. The New York Times has bought The Athletic. The Athletic is an online website that features local reporters in each major city covering sports. It has been a failing business for quite a long time. It had the backing of a lot of people with a lot of money, and they lost millions after millions after millions. I don't know how this worked out, but somehow they built something that is worth $550 million, and they've sold it off to the New York Times. No question the New York Times is overpaying. No question that The Athletic is selling because they're not making money and they want to get out from under it. The investors want their money back. They're like, we don't want to stay in this long term. We love the idea. We built it. Somebody's offering us something, and we might make a small profit on our investment here. We'd like that. We'd like the return on our investment. Let's get out of this thing. So it works for everybody. It's astonishing to me that the New York Times has $500 million laying around to buy something like The Athletic. The point of the comments here is, if you subscribe to The Athletic, it's time to cancel. We knew it was liberal from the start. We knew the investors. We saw the way they were writing. We saw their coverage. We saw their take on things, and we knew they were liberal. Probably not very many of you, if any of you listening, even subscribe to it. But they just planted their flag, and they've told you they don't want you. And the way they're going to cover sports is not the way you like your sports coverage. They're the people that are going to report sports and say, we shouldn't be playing football because there's a pandemic. We should shut sports down. We shouldn't have fans. That's what these people are about. The New York Times is going to try to reach a fan base that they know includes conservatives and try to convert them into their way of thinking about sports. That's what this is about. It is about subscribers. The Athletic has a bunch of subscribers. The New York Times now gets them. They'll probably bundle that with a Times subscription and try to change even more minds. This is an attempt to reach people like us in middle America that love football and love sports and brainwash them. That's what this is. Drop The Athletic if you subscribe. It's going even farther left now that the New York Times owns them. And our final comment in sports has to do with a family that has a lot of great ties to the Kansas City area. Les Miller was a longtime member of the Kansas City Chiefs organization. Long time. Lived in Kansas City. His kids grew up in Overland Park. A lot of folks know Les Miller. He passed this week at age 85. He had a heart attack in November and never really recovered. He died this week in Tulsa at the age of 85. His son, Matt Miller, is 49, is in the University of Kansas Health System Hospital, and he is dying with prostate cancer. And he's had that for 18 months, and he does not have probably more than a few days to live. Matt Miller is a very sad story. I think we would all, most of us would sign up for 85 good years on this planet and a massive heart attack, and a month later it's over. I'll take that. I'll take 85. I would like to live longer than that, but I'll settle for that right now. If we're negotiating with the powers that be, I'll take 85. Matt Miller is 49, and he's not going to make it. Matt Miller is in KU Med, where Bill Snyder has visited him. Kevin Lockett, his best friend is Greg Gurley, the athletic department spokesperson at KU and broadcaster, high school friend, college friend of my wife, longtime friends with Greg Gurley. I've met Matt Miller a couple times. Matt Miller played quarterback at Kansas State, won 10 games in 1995. It was the first 10-win team that Kansas State ever had. Matt Miller grew up in a house where George Brett would visit when Matt Miller was a kid because Les Miles was with the Chiefs. Matt Miller grew up running around the Lamar Hunt suite. Not really a suite. It was a condo at the time before the renovation. Lamar Hunt built a condo at Arrowhead Stadium where when he came to town for Chiefs games, he lived there. Matt Miller played there. No doubt he knows Clark Hunt very well and has been around him. Very close to the same age, right? They would have been kids running around at Arrowhead at the same time. Matt Miller did a podcast with Tim Fitzgerald last May that you can go listen if you go to the Life of Fitz podcast is what it's called, the Life of Fitz podcast. And you can hear Matt's story. He played baseball at Kansas State. He was the quarterback at Kansas State. And he's had all these people visit him. Kevin Lockett bought a bunch of birthday presents for Matt Miller's daughter this week. She had a birthday. Kevin made sure that this wasn't forgotten with the family while they're all at the hospital sitting by Matt in his last days. Greg Gurley reached out to me and shared some of this information with me. I've known Greg a long time. He is a lifelong friend. They're life best friends. Greg Gurley and Matt Miller are life best friends. KU and K-State. And he's grieving. And Greg Gurley has been phenomenal in reaching out to people and saying, listen, visit, send a note, go to the GoFundMe page, whatever it may be. This is my best friend. He's going to die. There's a lot of people that he knew and has touched through sports, and they're all reaching out. Kevin Lockett had the most profound words of all. Kevin Lockett is there. He is bedside. He has said, this is a real reminder to all of us to give people flowers when they're healthy. Don't wait. Kevin Lockett is tremendous. Greg Gurley is tremendous. These are great people. These are great friends that Matt Miller has. This is a very sad story for the rest of the family, for the brother, the mom. The dad died this week. Matt Miller only has a few days left, it sounds like. It is nice to know this many people have reached out, and he has felt the love in his final days. A spokesperson for KU Med says this is the most visited patient in the history of the hospital. There have been so many people visit Matt Miller or send things for Matt Miller. It is the most visited patient they've ever had. This is a really sad story. And our thoughts and prayers are with the entire family. I don't know Matt very well. I met him a time or two. I know Greg pretty well. I know Kevin Lockett pretty well. I know a lot of these people pretty well. I did not know Matt all that well. Only met him a couple times, but this is an unbelievable story. It's an unbelievable story about friendship, love, strength. I wish we could say it was a great story about hope, but I think they're past that. And so it's a sad story because 49 is not good. Matt Miller is donating his body to science. He is hoping people will donate money for prostate cancer awareness programs, which Tim Fitzgerald is big on. He's been through that as well. It's how they bonded and did the podcast together about prostate cancer. This is important for men. It's important to get it checked. It's important to screen and stay ahead of the thing. By the time Matt found out, it was too late. It's very important. It is also, Matt Miller believes that his life sort of went off the rails in the last 10 years plus, maybe longer, because he had 12 concussions when he played football. And he's donating his brain to science. And he wants them to find out in his death whether or not his brain was mush from the concussions, which led to, I think he gained a lot of weight. I think he drank a lot. Some things like that happened in his life. It just sort of spiraled in the last few years. It's a very sad story, but he is a beloved figure, and a lot of people have reached out to him, so we wish the absolute very best to his entire family and what they're going through. I've mentioned a few times on the podcast that I like Apple stock. I mean, who wouldn't? It's not a stock tip because Apple's the best stock in the world. It's just, it's not gonna have the biggest year this year of any stock. There'll be hundreds of stocks that perform better. There's all kinds of startups that will do 300 and some percent. And people will go, wow, look, I got in on this. Look at all this money. Yeah, you can do that. You can also chase your tail in a bunch of losses trying to do it. It's just not my thing. I always say full disclosure when I talk about Apple. It's not really what this is about. They did have $365 billion in sales last year and a 33% revenue growth. Their stock shot up. In the last few days at the start of the year, their stock is down about 5%. It would be a good day to buy Apple. It's down 5%. I always say this. When Apple goes down a few percent, buy it. It's always going to go back where it was. You're getting the discount immediately. I bought it during the pandemic. It was down 40%. And what it's done since then is crazy. So I like that. I'm not a big savvy investor. I don't like to take chances. I'm insanely conservative with my money. I love Apple stock. And so does Tim Cook, the CEO. This is a fun story. The kicker of this story is fun. I'm going to give you the layout. They did their annual disclosure for Tim Cook, the CEO. He made $3 million in salary. He got a $12 million bonus. He got $82 million in stock awards in 2021. 2021 was also the year his 10-year tranche of shares were fully vested. He was given these when he became CEO and said, if you're CEO for 10 years, if you do a great job for 10 years, these shares will be fully vested after 10 years. That happened in August of 21. Became fully vested in $754 million worth of Apple shares. You think the CEO didn't have reason for that stock to go up over the last 10 years? His tranche of shares after 10 years is $754 million. So let's add that up. Pretty good year for Tim Cook. 754 plus 82 million plus 12 million plus 3 million. Screw it. You do the math. It's ridiculous. It's almost $1 billion. He's the CEO. He's not the founder. He's not Musk. He's not Jobs. He's not one of the, he's not Gates. He's not one of those guys. He's the CEO. He worked there. He became the CEO 10 years ago and he's good. He is maybe the most respected. I hate putting, stickers on people. He's probably the most respected gay businessman in America. He is, I think, in a lot of ways, liberal, but my God, he's a capitalist. It's funny. I don't know if people hang out around liberals, so they just have to act liberal. He doesn't do very many things that are liberal. He seems really conservative. Apple's streaming content that's coming out is like the anti-Netflix. We've been watching some of these series, Ted Lasso, The Morning Show, some of these other things on Apple. They don't make fun of conservatives, and they don't push giant liberal agendas. They look to me like they're going to do a streaming service that plays the middle and says, we respect what these other people are, because they're doing this globally. These shows are on around the world. There's a lot of places that are under socialist regimes that don't want to see the Netflix narrative of pushing the left in America. They're living it, and it's a nightmare if you're in Venezuela. Those people have $9 a month too. Every one of these shows is in like 30 languages. It's crazy if you watch the end of season credits of Ted Lasso. You know, all the film looks the same, but they have voice actors voicing over Ted Lasso in the language. Chinese, Russian, Italian, whatever it may be. German. In every country, everywhere. I mean, this is a global thing. They seem to be playing the whole thing down the middle, and I don't think that's any mistake. I think Tim Cook's doing that by design. So I am a fan of Tim Cook. I think he's a Democrat. I think Apple does some things with, they need to do better with privacy. I got a lot of issues and things like that. But I see them trying. I see them trying to say, we're not turning our back on guys like Kev. We're not. That's really not the point of why I'm talking about Tim Cook today. He got almost $1 billion in 2021. And because they have to report everything in his package, in his salary package, right? In his compensation package. Apple also reports that the corporation made a $17,400 contribution to his 401k and paid $2,964 in life insurance premiums for Tim Cook. And it's just funny. It's just funny. You're talking about over or about $900 million here in 1 year. Roughly $900 million. And Apple reports $17,400 to the 401k and $2,964 in life insurance for Tim Cook. Presumably so his partner is taken, or husband, I don't know if he's got a husband or a partner. Presumably so his partner is taken care of if he dies? What the hell does Tim Cook have life insurance for? Are you kidding me? And if it was only $2,900 of life insurance, what kind of policy are we talking about here? $2 million? I don't know. $5 million? He's in his 50s, right? I don't know. 60s, maybe? $2,900 life insurance policy. That ain't much. I just think it's funny that even with all this money and all this security and all this stuff, you take advantage of what you can. If the company's going to buy you life insurance, take it. If they're going to fund your 401k, take it. That's just phenomenal. It would be great to not have to have life insurance, wouldn't it? He doesn't need it. I can promise you that. I got some insurance on low prices. Bstock.net. Laptops, laptop, laptop this January. That's what they are really chock full of. Got another great email from a patron named David yesterday that he drove 30 minutes to Bstock. Said, you're absolutely right. They showed us all kinds of TVs. Said, I walked out with a Vizio 55. It was dirt cheap. I'd done all my research before I got there. It was way less than anywhere else. They're amazing. I said, yeah, they are. They are. They're amazing with laptops right now. And they can be Apple, Dell, HP, Lenovo. They will ship these anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. Bstock.net. Folks, if you live out of town and can't get to the warehouse, go online and buy it. Have it shipped. You're going to save money. Bstock.net. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Finch Knife Company, they ship worldwide as well. Beautiful pocket knives, gorgeous pieces of art, or wear them, keep them in your pocket every day. They retail for a lot less than the big name brands, the really expensive ones that you may find. But man, they're absolutely as good. They are gorgeous. They are really great pocket knives made with U.S. steel blades. Keep life from getting dull with Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com, and visit Teague Tractor and Farm. If you go to Teague Tractor and Farm, mention the podcast, give them a heads up. I think they'd be a good sponsor. I think they do lawnmowers, tracks, they got everything. Outdoor, great. Let's go. They're selling the knives. I like that. You want to sell the knives? Get a hold of Finch Knife Co. and they will stock your retail location up and let you sell Finch knives from the Finch Knife Company. And Merriam Body Shop, Justin over at Merriam is becoming legendary with listeners of KKHI. I say this with all real affection. Justin's a trip. That's all I can say. And you people, you're emailing me back going, hey, I went to Merriam Body Shop. I met Justin. You're right. He's a trip. Just mention Trump to him. Or better yet, mention Biden to him. And it'll probably be a 5 to 10 minute conversation before he goes back to work. But it's great. It's like getting a free podcast. It's fantastic. He's awesome. That's who you want to do business with. Bottom line, that's who you want to do business with. These people are honest and they do great work. They're also hiring. They need a couple people to do body work at Merriam Body Shop as they're growing. So many new customers, real growth. And now they need to hire a couple people to do body work. Not painters. They've got plenty of painters. They need people with body work. They're looking for 3 years experience. If you work somewhere else, they're paying top dollar and giving you a better work environment. It's just more fun working there, I can promise you. MerriamBodyShop.com. Okay, CBS has taken some hits, pretty strong hits, from a story they did yesterday. They put up a polling numbers that say, with a headline that said, Republicans, by a 47% margin, describe January 6th of last year as patriotism. They are slammed for this polling because they left out the most important number in the poll. The poll was done by YouGov or Survey, I don't know which poll it was. But as CBS reported it, they left out the real headline. The biggest headline story of this poll, and this is what we've talked about January 6th. This is the biggest number of all. It's the highest number. It's the thing most people agree on in this polling about January 6th. It's a number that it can't be reached unless something is really obvious. It's 76% of Americans across party lines agree on one thing about January 6th of last year. They agree on one thing. 76%, an impossible polling number. 76% of Americans consider January 6th of last year to be a protest that went too far. They have that option. You give ABC and you ask, and that's what they came up with. 76% of Americans did not describe it as terrorism or a riot or criminal or whatever. They considered it a protest that went too far because they know it was nonviolent. That's exactly what it was. It was a protest that went too far. That's a perfect description of what it was. 76% of Americans agree that's what it was. CBS would not report that number in their coverage of the poll. They did a story on the polling and left that out. And you don't think the media are dirty in this country? That's ridiculous. People like Ted Cruz maybe are spending too much time in Washington, D.C., and he may be disjointed from this stuff now. Apparently, because I know this. I'm living it every day. You know this. You know that everybody you know considers January 6th of last year to be a mistake. It was kind of funny in some ways, but nonviolent, except for the cops shooting Ashley Babbitt. They weren't going in there to hurt people. They weren't going in there to steal the ballots. They were raising hell. It went too far. Mob mentality took over. It was a mistake. It was wrong. It was also very silly, and Americans are not stupid. It's a protest that went too far. That's exactly the way to describe it. Nobody was in danger. It wasn't a terrorist attack. And yet Ted Cruz made some comments in the Senate this week echoing the far left, because we know it's far left, because 76% of Americans agree that it was not a terrorist attack. Well, actually more than that. 90% or so don't believe it was a terrorist attack, but the far left keeps pushing it as a terrorist attack to paint all conservatives as extremists, terrorists, whatever. That's what they're doing. It's not working, but it's working on Ted Cruz, who echoed the word terror attack, twice on the floor, saying we've got an anniversary date coming up and that's what he said. Tucker Carlson, a couple nights ago, just obliterated Cruz and said, look, he's one of the smartest guys. He's truly conservative. I like Ted Cruz, but my God, man, you can't fall into the trap of using their stupid talking point. What are you doing? And Tucker Carlson let him have it. And Tucker was right. When this happened, and I think Ted Cruz explains this in the clip I'm about to play, He immediately texted Tucker and said, I want to come on the show. He did come on last night, and Tucker Carlson did not back down.
So I guess there are a lot of dumb people in the Congress. You're not one of them. I think you're smarter than I am. And you never use words carelessly. And yet you called this a terror attack when by no definition was it a terror attack. That's a lie. You told that lie on purpose, and I'm wondering why you did.
Well, Tucker, thank you for having me on. When you aired your episode last night, I sent you a text shortly thereafter and said, listen, I'd like to go on because the way I phrased things yesterday, it was sloppy and it was frankly dumb. And
I don't buy that. Whoa. I don't buy that. Look, I've known you a long time since before you went to the Senate. You're a Supreme Court contender. You take words as seriously as any man who's ever served in the Senate. And every word you repeated that phrase, I do not believe that you used that accidentally. I just don't.
So, Tucker, as a result of my sloppy phrasing, it's caused a lot of people to misunderstand what I meant. Let me tell you what I meant to say. What I was referring to are the limited number of people who engaged in violent attacks against police officers. Now, I think you and I both agree that if you assault a police officer, you should go to jail. That's who I was talking about. And the reason the phrasing was sloppy is I have talked dozens, if not hundreds of times. I've drawn a distinction. I wasn't saying that the thousands of peaceful protesters supporting Donald Trump are somehow terrorists. I wasn't saying the millions of patriots across the country supporting President Trump are terrorists. And that's what a lot of people have misunderstood that comment.
What you just said doesn't make sense. So if somebody assaults a cop, he should be charged and go to jail. I couldn't agree more. We have said that for years. But that person's still not a terrorist. How many people have been charged with terrorism on January 6th? Like, why'd you use that word? You're playing into the other side's characterization that, as Joe Kent just explained, allows them to define an entire population as foreign combatants. And you know that. So why'd you do it?
So Tucker, let me answer you directly. The reason I use that word, for a decade, I have referred to people who violently assault police officers as terrorists. I've done so over and over and over again. If you look at all the assaults we've seen across the country, I've called that terrorism over and over again.
That was really good, and that's two of the most conservative people you'll ever see on television, Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz. And Tucker, to his credit, doesn't back down. Some people think Tucker Carlson is eventually going to run for president. There's some juice behind him. I don't know. I don't know. I know this. He's unafraid. I mean, his family's been in peril. He has security and all these other things, maybe even more so than politicians. Crazy people on the left probably hate Tucker more than they hate Ted Cruz. So, you know, there's an element to that, hey, what's the difference between this and running for president? At least then I have Secret Service around me. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. He'd have to polish his game. There's a lot of things I think he'd have to do as a politician that is not scripted like he does on television. I think Tucker Carlson is fantastic. I applaud him for being a journalist and saying, I'm going to go after a guy that I agree with 99.9% of the stuff, but man, you can't make the stupid mistake you just made. You can't fall into their narrative and say that was a terror attack. It was not 9/11, as Kamala Harris said. It was not Pearl Harbor. It was almost nothing is what it was. So way to go, Tucker. That was just a clip. The entire thing is 7.5 minutes long. It's clearly online if you want to see the whole interview. I recommend going and doing it. It was mea culpa from Ted Cruz. He basically just came on and said, I am sorry. I was sloppy and I was dumb. And Tucker, I am yours. In a way, I am yours. Oh, my. I mean, that's pretty funny. A new garage floor can be yours with AmazingGarageFloors.net. John Hutchins is a great American patriot. He's taking reservations for this spring to seal driveways and do amazing garage floors. Call 913-901-7139. And Back 9 Development would love the opportunity to meet with you about a custom home, a commercial property, or room additions, or give you a tour of the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere on the Colbert Hills Golf Course in the gorgeous Flint Hills in Manhattan, with a pool, workout facility, covered parking, walking distance to shops, restaurants, bars. It's great. These are really phenomenal. Go, just dream a little. Go look at them. Go to the website, back9development.com, back9development.com, and check out his portfolio. TJ's a great guy, and he'll personally give you the tour if you contact him, because he loves listeners of KKHI, as do I. Thanks so much to so many of you for hitting that like and follow button. Those numbers are growing. That helps a lot. And I think a lot of you are spreading the word with your friends. Really appreciate that. Again, if you want to sign up for the patron program, excellent, in my opinion, excellent patron podcast yesterday. I share a personal story about something that's going on with the patrons and in my life that will culminate on maybe Monday of next week or Tuesday. You'll probably find out. You'll know what this is all about. But if you like to hear these things, I share personal stories there that I don't really think belong here. They belong there. I had made a decision about a week ago to stop doing personal stories over there because of something that occurred by sharing one with the patrons, and I explain all that in the patron podcast. And after 5 days, I like a bad New Year's resolution, I just gave up on it. I just started smoking again. That's a metaphor. I've never smoked. Never. But it's like, oh, I made it 5 days, but now I got to do this thing and tell this story, and it is personal, and that's where the patron podcasts are just different. That's all I can say is they're just different than what we do here. I designed them to be different. We talk about different things, and I think you'll like them. I do. I think you'll like them. It's just $5 a month. Go to kkhasissues.com if you would like to sign up and become a patron. Short of that, have a great weekend. We'll do a patron post this weekend. Let's get a Chiefs win over the Broncos. And we'll be back with you maybe Sunday night or Monday morning with the Chiefs playoff scenario and who they are getting ready to play. Thanks, as always, for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.